over, Mr.
Oh, I let you.
Hey, get in here. Dallas is about to start.
Welcome to the Ewing Barbecue Podcast. Grab your shoulder pads, because this is the podcast where we have a drink and talk about the TV show Dallas. My name is Mary.
And I'm Sarah.
And I'm Josh.
All right, tonight I'm drinking Kilt Lifter, which is a Scotch Ale from Pike's Brewing Company in Seattle, Washington.
And I am still drinking Cupcake Wine Pinot Grigio.
And I'm always drinking J.R. Bourbon.
It's
the only thing to do.
Oh, yeah. And tonight we're going to talk about Season 2, Episode 2, which is Reunion Part 2. There's lots of Part 2s here. So it was written by David Jacobs, directed by Irving J. Moore, and aired on September 30th, 1978.
And it was... I want to tell the ranking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Damn it, Bobby.
Okay, this is really good. Not really. It says, this episode ranked 59th for the week, Dallas' worst ranking ever.
Ever?
Ever.
Of all time.
Ever. Yes, 59.
Which means it only goes up from here, if we're going to look at it exactly. In a positive way.
So stay with it, guys. Stay with
yes,
it.
Yes, yes.
Were they just not digging David Aykroyd? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe they don't like David Aykroyd.
Maybe not.
He did a lovely job. I don't know.
Lovely. I guess I'll start tonight.
Yeah.
So, my good was probably that you get to finally see the first kind of plot that JR fixes up. Like, he like basically cooks the books so that you can, the company looks better than it is.
Yes.
So that Gary can run it. Mm-hmm. And of course, Bobby is naive. He's like, oh yeah, I looked over those books. They look great. Not thinking that JR would do that. And
right.
Gary doesn't know better. I mean, he's trying to, I guess, see the best in everybody and forgive everybody. And so he's like, oh, maybe this is it. And then you see the pressure come on. So mm-hmm. I like, that was my good, that you could see JR's first kind of like scheme, and it only gets way bigger from there. My bad, probably just the fact that fucking Gary and Val leave at the end. I mean, they just both literally just fucking walk off the ranch. Like, they leave. Yeah. I mean, seriously, like, they... You don't even say bye to your daughter. You don't give an explanation. That drives me insane. Like, I can't
stand it. Terrible parents.
Yes. Again, for the second time, honestly. And, you know, and that's why Lucy's so fucked up, probably.
Mm-hmm.
My great is, and I'm pretty sure this is the right episode, correct me if I'm wrong, is this whenever Digger drives up drunk to the ranch?
Yes. Yes, it is. Okay. Yes, it is.
This is my favorite scene. He gets out of the car and he decides to give, he takes... the $100 bill from Jock for Pamela.
Yes.
He basically sold his daughter for $100. And I think that Digger had the best performance in that scene. And I love that scene forevermore. And that is my great. And on to whoever else would like to go now.
Josh, do you want to go?
Let's see. I think that good, obviously, was David Wayne's performance in this whole episode. Actually, that's probably a great. He... selling Pam the Jock and returning these gifts from the ladies' auxiliary, dropping the puzzles on the ground. And it was interesting to see Gary and Val observing that in the background. Like, oh, okay. I guess we're not the only outsiders here. And I think that, so the David Wayne was great. I'm kind of doing this in reverse order. Bad for me is... Digger's in a drunk tank, which looked like something out of a 1960s mental hospital. I was expecting shock therapy to go on.
I thought so, too.
With that friggin' cage that they had to walk through to get in there. But, hello, where's Cliff? Well, his father is in the drunk tank?
Right.
Completely MIA?
Yes.
And Maggie, who makes her first appearance, played by Sarah Cunningham.
Oh, she's my great, too. I love her. Sorry.
But... Cliff, where are you when your father is, like, sick like that? Just completely MIA, not even in the episode at all, not even in those two episodes. So,
not even on the phone.
No, nothing. Not even, like, only mentioned when Pam goes to the house that we see her grow up in, and she talks about where she, Aunt Maggie, raised Pam and Cliff and Jimmy, and, That's the only reference to Cliff, basically, in that whole episode.
Huh. Yeah. I noticed that, but.
Good, I'd have to agree on the whole first scheme of JR's, but again, Val is on to JR, and Lucy is very pushy, trying to push her parents together, and leave these two lovebirds alone while I ride back to JR in the car. Ugh, please. I want to vomit. But one other interesting thing was seeing Ray and Gary talking about, like, running the ranch, and I'm sitting there thinking, So Gary's... you still shagging my daughter there?
Oh God!
I didn't even think of that.
I
oh
didn't
my God!
Gary seems very insecure in everything that he says. I mean, I know why, obviously, but everything he says, he seems very insecure. Even like about the questions about running the ranch, and then looking at the books, he didn't know you could everything about him. He wasn't going to stay. You knew it from the end of that episode. I mean, you knew he was going to walk off the ranch.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he was going to walk off the ranch. He was going to grow a few more inches before we'd see him again. And he was going to get blonde hair and a different face.
And turn into Ted Shackelford.
He had some plastic surgery to get you guys.
Yes.
The new Gary's better.
Yeah.
Right. He's not as dark. Although Ted Shackelford did have his dark moments when he did the drinking. But
I know. I love that show too.
But David Wayne's performance really stood out for me in that episode. No! You leave here! Don't come here! Don't, no! I will come back.
Oh.
And then Pam says at the end, Digger goes to give her the $100, and she goes, keep it, the old louse owes you more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And she referred to Jock as that frog of a rancher.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right. Like, not even like an oil man, that frog of a rancher.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Good dig, Pam. So my good, I guess, was learning more about Gary and Val and just like their backstory and like seeing them as people. I liked that. That was nice. My bad was probably seeing just sort of that sort of like toxic masculinity thing that Gary grew up in and why he turned out the way he was, because like he wasn't that person when Jock was like, no, you gotta like screw over people and you gotta be a dick,
right?
And Gary's like, I just want to paint, you guys, like I want to paint and I want to just like be a good person and I just want to like talk about my feelings, and then they're like, no, you can't do that, you pansy, whatever. Like, it's just like,
poor Gary.
Like, I want to like Jock because it's Jock and Jerry, but like you see that it was probably just not the best situation to be growing up in. Who was, as Miss Ellie says, a Southworth amongst Ewings.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yep. And my great is when Lucy slaps JR at the end of the episode.
I forgot about that.
Because the motherfucker deserves to be slapped.
He does. He does. And I forgot totally about that. That would have been great. I still like Digger's $100 bill.
The $100, right.
That was a great, great scene. And what I found interesting was in the beginning, you know, when Val didn't want to go to South Fork with Gary and Lucy when they were at the diner. But by the end, she's begging him to stay and not walk out. And like, it was a complete flip of
her. She's in love with him and she just wants to be with him. And she's obviously been in love with him for like 17 years. And she just wants him to stay.
Right.
That's why I watched Knots Landing.
Good call.
Because they made a life for themselves.
That's right. In California.
And they
in
made
the cul-de-sac.
That's right. And JR and Bobby both made guest appearances on that show.
But only in season one, right?
No. JR turned up several times.
Yeah, okay.
Bobby turned up.
And so did Lucy.
And Kristen.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Kristen was shagging with Kenny Ward there.
Yes. Oh. I forgot about that. See, they only did season one and I think one and two on the DVDs of Not Saving.
And I only watched it in the early 90s when I was in high school. They were replaying Knots Landing on TNN.
Soapnet. And they played it on Soapnet, too.
Oh, I missed it on Soapnet, but I watched it on TNN. And that's the only Knots Landing I've ever seen. And they only showed maybe the first couple seasons.
Probably the same ones they have on
DVD. A while ago. Yeah, it was a while ago. So
it was the year after I graduated high school. It was like 97 or 98. So, yeah.
Right. And even though they technically ran longer, they made 13 fewer episodes of Knots Landing. 357 to 344.
Seasons got shorter? Probably.
Yes.
Yeah, and Dallas did a lot of 31 episode seasons.
They really did. There's so many episodes per season.
Right, which is why you have a show like Supernatural going off the air next season after 15 seasons, but only 327 episodes.
Wow.
So nowadays they're obviously emphasizing, and you could see it with the TNT series, fewer episodes. They're doing less filler episodes. They're trying to emphasize quality over quantity.
100%. No. Yeah.
They're doing quality over quantity.
Exactly. Like, we've learned something from the British.
Right.
Yeah, but they have such huge, like, hiatuses now in the middle.
How to Lose the Revolutionary War. No.
So, one thing I do have to say about this episode was, is JR going on safari?
Told you.
Is that his plan?
On safari in the early years.
That fucking
outfit.
He's
all about it. What is that outfit? Was that stylish in 1978?
I don't think it was. That's the thing. And the thing is, he wears it in these random episodes, and then you don't see it again until they go, like, on that hunting trip or whatever, when they go,
right.
Oh, my God, I swear. I'm like, oh, I hate that thing. It shows that
just,
up.
Just JR's style. I don't know.
I guess.
it's not a good one, I have to say.
Didn't we all want to be JR with our style? No.
Not so much. No.
Yeah, no. No. Yeah. I didn't dress up as him for Halloween or anything like that, you know.
Ooh, that would be a fun costume.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
Well, I know that there were a lot of at the height of their popularity, I was hearing that a lot of, like, in Israel, I guess Jewish school children would dress up as JR and different Dallas characters for the holiday of Purim or something.
That
like
is amazing.
That. Oh, well, they would stop parliament sessions so they could go home and watch Dallas in different countries. So it was.
Here's a thing that I wish was a thing my entire life. I always wanted a Dallas metal lunchbox. Why was that not a thing?
I think they did. I just can't find it.
I have searched the internet. I've searched everything for a Dallas metal lunchbox. That would have made me the happiest 8-year-old on the planet. Instead, I had my Cabbage Patch Kids lunchbox. But
I had a Dukes of Hazzard lunchbox.
You did? That's so
I did.
Cool.
That's why
I had a brown bag, and I went to school.
I know. When I had the brown bag, my mom would write on it, and she'd put, like, notes on there, and then I got made fun of. So I was like, back to Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
It was way cooler than the strawberry shortcake one.
Oh, yeah.
Which had Denver Pyle, who played Uncle Jesse, did later appear on Dallas. A little over there.
Right.
Denver Pyle was on Dallas? Who did he play?
He played Blackie Callahan in the later years. JR went wildcatting with him over in Pride, Texas. And then JR ended up going to Blackie's funeral during the last season.
I've only watched those later seasons on the original run, so that'll be. It's gonna be watching it for the first time.
It is because
we're gonna have fun when we get there. Oh yeah.
Yeah, because I watch them now. Even now, I've seen all of them like 10 times, and even now when I watch them, you see things that you missed the first time.
Yeah.
And also, the first time around, I was probably like 15 years old or 12 years old, and you don't get half the shit they say the first time around.
Right. You're just looking at horses and action and a lot of cars and things. When Priscilla Pulley showed up, well, that was another story. Yes.
Aww.
In this episode and a lot of the early episodes, is you could see at the ranch the horses running in the background, and just how it showed that it was a working ranch and that they were like free-ranged horses, if that's a thing. I know they're free-range chickens and lesser prairie chickens, but the horses just running in the background, they were majestic.
Yeah.
All right. I am going to sign off just me, Sarah, because I've got to run out of here. But I will talk to you guys in a little while.
All right.
See you later, Sarah. All right. Bye.
Picking up another bottle of bourbon.
Yes.
I will try. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So I have a question from this episode. So there's a lot of like all or nothing thoughts about this. So like Gary's like, I can't live in this house and whatever. Like, but I'm like, why can't you just live in the city of Braddock or the town of Braddock or the city of Dallas or somewhere within 100 miles and visit your daughter? Right.
Yeah, what? Why do all these millionaires, they're millionaires, why do they all have to live under one roof?
Yeah, you don't have to live in the same house. Like, you could just get an apartment somewhere and visit your family on Christmas and Easter like everybody else. But you're like, no, I'm either living here or I'm gone for 16 years.
John Ross had an apartment in the new series, you know?
That's true. Downtown. I feel like they got smart in that time period where John Ross was like, yeah, I'm not living at home, guys.
Yeah, and even Christopher and Rebecca Sutter, as she was at that point, they had their apartment.
Yeah.
But what I enjoyed seeing Bobby and Gary have that little horseplay in the office where they were just kind of like smacking each other and playing around like brothers do. And then it all gets spoiled when JR walks in and he just kind of like spoils the fun and everything's like, oh.
Because
no.
JR's a spoil sport.
No, we don't have to, I don't have to go riding now. We can go riding later, Bobby.
right, guys, whatever. Now that the fun police are here.
Exactly.
He's like the Alex Keaton of the family, you know?
Oh, yeah, uptight. Junior, you were born uptight. You were born an old man.
You were born old, Junior.
Well, I always thought, watching this episode, I always thought to myself that, and we mentioned this before, is that a series set in the middle years, filling in the events, I would watch that in a heartbeat.
Oh, between the early years and yeah.
Just a lot of that dark stuff. And then you could see JR and his many women like Vanessa and Leanne and what really happened with him and Julie. And because during the miniseries, a lot of that was like, that was always mysterious to me, like a dark mystery. And it just, my imagination would go off. And there was that book that was written.
Yep. The Lee Raintree book.
Yeah. Which was nasty. Like Valiant's name was Maureen and JR like raped her and was Lucy's father. And, you know, I think like Bobby or somebody had PTSD
Bobby was named after Jock's secretary. In that book.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So it was a lot darker. And I know, did you ever hear the album that came out, Dallas the Music Story?
Yes. I have it. The record.
Yeah. I have it on the wall. It's autographed by everybody in creation associated with the show, including Barbara Carrera.
Nice. Mine is just a record.
Yeah. But listening to the song Who Killed Jock Ewing, and it talks about the early years and a lot of that mysterious stuff, you know, that we never saw on screen. So it really would lend itself well to a mini series or a new series in between. I don't know what you.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. Because you could just have actors play younger versions of characters we know.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, we know the end game, obviously.
Obviously.
Filling in the middle years, it's like, I mean, they did it with like Gotham and Smallville, where you saw like Superman, like, you know, them growing up and growing into their roles. And we know how it ended with them, like Superman flying off and Batman standing on the top of the city and everything like that. So it could end right before, like maybe when Ray brings Pam to Southwark for a barbecue or something.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That would be perfect. Yeah, because like you could have like them all in high school, you know, like JR in high school and like Bobby hanging out with Jenna when they're a kid with their kids. And
we could see Lucas Wade, the father.
Lucas Wade, yep. And being terrible with his company.
Just don't go Riverdale on this and like bring in like the black hood of Dallas or anything like that.
Right.
Or Griffins, Gargoyles, and Ewings.
Yeah.
Now, Gary's working in the study that night. Pam comes in and talks to him. Miss Ellie comes in and brings the cookies and the milk, and Lucy comes to say goodnight. And then the milk spills. Does this really give rise to the whole phrase, "Don't cry over spilled milk"?
Kind of, it really does. And it just goes to show, like, the dude just has a lot of, like, anxiety.
Yeah, I mean, milk
Like,
is what
take a
drives him away.
Xanax, man. Take a Xanax, chill out, smoke some weed, just something. Like,
Carry on weed. Oh man, that would be. Imagine if they all did weed. I mean, we know Larry did in real life. I mean, he dropped acid with Keith Moon,
I have to say, like, that was, I until I saw there was like I think they did like a biography of Larry Hagman about, I don't know, was that like 10 years ago? Do you remember that when that was on?
but. I think so, yeah.
I really did not know that Larry Hagman was like a legitimate hippie.
Oh yeah.
I had
Because he.
no idea. And then it made so much sense, and I was so happy about that.
Yeah, like
I
Keith
love
Moon
that.
from The Who was his neighbor in the 70s in
He's
Malibu.
Bridget. He's like Bridget Fonda's godfather.
Right. And I remember in 2012 when I went down to the premiere and we had the press junket, and I ended up sitting at the same table with him. You know, who's going to turn down that opportunity?
Nice,
And
right?
we were just sitting there going on about how he used to drop acid with Keith Moon from The Who. And I'm sitting there
That's
going,
insane.
I go back to the hotel and I go, did I just have dinner with JR and talk about dropping acid with the drummer from The Who? That is a bizarro moment.
I love that so much.
Oh, yeah, but he was a character, you
Which really
know.
just goes to show you that they were really doing Dallas to show you the evil of all that capitalism, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the talk about how there was a book written by someone named, I think Ian Ang, was about the social impact of Dallas around the world, and there was talk about how it was helped bring about the fall of communism in the
Right.
Eastern Bloc, with the episodes being smuggled into like Romania and stuff like that, and you know, people saying, "Oh my God, in the West they live like that, and they have the cars and the houses and the mansions. We can live like that too."
You're like, yeah,
And it
but
just
not very
started.
many people.
No, it just started putting ideas in their heads,
Yeah.
and they just started uprising about it. But
Man.
you know, so I don't know. That really, episode two, I guess, part two, I should say. That just,
Yeah.
but the whole thing with Digger and Pam was great, at the
Yeah.
house.
Yeah. He's doing that thing where he's pushing her away, and she's like, "No, I'm not having it. I'm staying."
Yeah. I'm gonna come here tomorrow. I'm gonna come here the next day. I'm just gonna keep coming.
And that is 100% what he wants.
Yeah.
You know?
He doesn't want to admit it because he's pig-headed, and he's a drunk. But and you could see when Pam told Bobby, "I'm sick of his sick of his drunken. I'm done with it and all this." But then she the next day she goes to the house.
Of course she
She says,
does.
"No, you're a fool. I'm not." Yeah. So you had the two stories of outsiders, I guess, in this episode with
That's very true, yeah. It's the outsiders versus the insiders.
the outsiders, but no Pony Boy. And
Nobody. No staying golden. Nope.
no, Ralph Macchio. He's off doing
Nope.
Cobra Kai.
Which
But
I
you
still
know,
have to watch that. Heard it's
yeah,
really
that's
good.
oh, who played Kreese was in the running to play Ray Krebs. I still find that weird.
Who was in the running?
Martin Cove, who played Sensei Kreese in the Karate Kid movies.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, he was a friend of Steve Canella's, and he was in the running, as was Ken Kershaw, of course.
Wow. Yeah,
Dear
yeah, yeah.
sweet Ken. Dear
Yeah.
sweet Ken.
I was just reminded of the fact that Steve Canella was in Sugarland Express, which is one of Steven Spielberg's first films, with Goldie Hawn.
Oh,
And
yes.
it was, I just saw it in on my Instagram. I think it was in like in the Criterion feed or something, but I saw that film in one of my film class. I took a Steven Spielberg class in college, and we watched Sugarland Express, and I remember at the time being like, "Oh my God, that's Ray Krebs." But I completely forgot about it until like 2 days ago when I saw it on Instagram.
Right, it's like when I watched old episodes of Happy Days, there was one where they had the dance competition, the dance marathon,
Okay.
Charlene Tilton was in it.
Oh.
She was the
Yeah, it was the
one
right time
in
period.
what she was, was one of the other couples.
Awesome.
Let's see. Any trip? Should we look for a little trivia here?
Yeah, trivia.
Editor Fred W. Berger actually received an Emmy nomination for this episode. It was the first of his four nominations he would receive for Dallas.
Wow.
He did not win, but he won a Emmy in 1976 for outstanding film editing for an entertainment program for the Welcome to Korea episode of MASH. And that nomination was the first of 23 Emmy nominations bestowed upon Dallas between 1979 and 1988, including two nominations for the early years in 1986. And the only acting one was by Barbara Bel Geddes in 1980.
Yay, Barbara Bugettes.
And David Jacobs would only write one more episode, episode 43, which paved the way for Knots Landing.
Wow,
And
really?
his last work on Dallas, other than the early years, that's Leonard Katzman and Phil Capece became the big names after that. And
That's right.
Phil left after the Dream Season. And
Yeah.
Lenny Katzman kept it as a family affair with his daughter on there, Sherilyn Martino, who played Jackie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Huh.
That's all my trivia. That's it.
That's all your
That's it.
trivia.
That's all
Awesome. All right, well, any
my trivia.
final thoughts on this episode?
I like that we learned about the whole Gary and Val and Lucy, learning their backstory, seeing obviously the effects of the years on Digger and what the toll that the feud has taken on him, and JR, his first scheme that we've seen. Well, not wasn't really his first scheme, because his first scheme was in episode one, which was more of a setup. Was setting Ray and Pam up to trying to have
Right.
Bobby see
But
them get
it was
married.
awful, and so we had to show that he actually had the wherewithal to do a real good scheme, because that was a terrible scheme.
That was a terrible scheme, yes, but it was his first good scheme.
Yes, first good scheme.
Right, and we obviously know Val didn't take the money, but he wrote the check anyway to make it look like she took the money. And
Right.
that
And
was,
to just break Lucy's heart, I guess?
yeah.
Just to be a jerk?
And she slapped him across the face. That was the
Yeah.
first of many times people got slapped on that show.
Yeah. I like that felt good. Like, I was glad she did that. Yeah.
And you could hear it.
You could. Like, she must have, like, it was really good ADR, or she just really, like, slapped him.
Right, and how many times did they have to shoot that? So how many times did he get
Right.
did he leave the set that night and go home to Mai with handprints on the side of his face?
And since she was like 5 foot on a good day, and he's like 6 foot something, like, did he have to kind of bend over for her to slap him?
I
Like, is
think that she was so short, they had to use what they called apple boxes
Yeah.
scenes to get them up to the same height, so you didn't have to have like this discrepancy with the camera and her head barely appeared.
As someone who is also a bit vertically challenged, I am 5'2", so I'm a little bit taller than her. Like, I can see that, because they would be so tall.
Right,
So
okay.
very, very tall.
Right, okay, so, yeah, and you're like looking up. It's like when we're little and we look up at our parents and everybody, or all our relatives, they seem so tall. But then when we grow up and we get to whatever height we're at, we're like, you really weren't that tall. You
Right.
just looked like a giant because we were so little.
Right.
And
But
that's Lucy on a
some of us haven't grown since the 7th grade, so everybody just really is tall. And if you're like me, like, I don't often consider myself not tall until I see a picture of myself with other people. Then I'm like, oh, wow, they're way taller than me.
Yeah, I'm vertically challenged, and
Right. Oh. Huh.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I very much also liked just I felt like we got to see a little bit more of Miss Sally's place in the family, and got to see her see, like, a little bit like maybe how alone she really is in that family, because she's way more Southwark than Ewing, and she's kind of by herself amongst all these dudes. It made me a little bit sad for her.
Right. I mean, she, you know, she's literally the only woman there because Sue Ellen is too into herself. Pam is the outsider trying to find her place, and Lucy's the spoiled little brat trying to sleep with the ranch foreman in the barn.
She's just rebelling. And Miss Ellie's just there like, I was here before everybody, so cool.
I was here before everybody. I'll be buried on this ranch.
Mm-hmm. This is my ranch. This is my family's ranch.
It's my ranch, even though my brother disappeared at sea, and it was supposed to be his ranch. But
that whole thing. Yeah. Spoiler alert. All right. Well, I guess maybe we should wrap this episode up. So thank you for listening to this episode. Please subscribe to us on whatever podcast app that you're using. It will automatically tell you when the next episode is coming out if you do so. If you'd also like to know that a new episode is coming out, subscribe to us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. And also give us a 5-star review on the app of your choice that you're listening to. That would be awesome because it helps us be seen by more people. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Help some people out here. We are the Ewing Barbecue on Facebook, and just ask to join the group and we'll accept you, and then we can have conversations about Dallas. That will be phenomenal. We are Ewing BBQ on Instagram and BBQ Ewing on Twitter. Sorry to be confusing, but names were taken. And if you would like to send us an email talking about anything related to Dallas, whether it be this episode, another episode, your favorite Dallas episode, your favorite characters, please send it to theewingbbq@gmail.com and we will read that on the air.
And we'll even let you in if your last name is Barnes or McKay.
Yes, even if it's Barnes or McKay, because we're cool people.
Yes. You might wind up in the pool, but we'll let you in.
Yeah. All right, we will see you next time. See you later, guys. Bye.
Y'all come back. Bye.
Well, in the old days, they used to kill the bearer of bad news. I guess I got off lucky.